The MDNA has been around since 1920, and it's actually celebrating its 100-year anniversary this year. I got a chance to sit down with Renee McGinnis, who is the CEO of the MDNA, as she offers us more insight into what it looks like, what type of services they offer, and some misconceptions we have about the hospice industry. Check it out. You are with the MDNA, and you guys are actually celebrating your 100-year anniversary, if I hear that correctly.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about the MDNA's origin story, how you guys got into this industry, and what that history has been like over the past 100 years?
Yeah, absolutely. So interestingly enough, when we planned our 100th year anniversary this year and our capital campaign, we weren't thinking of a pandemic, which was 100 years ago, right? So we were, that is how MDNA started, was in, you know, public health, right? So we were the public health nurse, we were involved with the pandemic back then, and then grew into working with a physician and another nurse, doing home visits, you know, raising money by or exchanging pies for getting pies for our service, or maybe paying a dollar for the nurse to come out. And then in the 90s, the late 80s, early 90s is when we became a Medicare certified agency. And that was really a big deal back then, because most towns had a board of health nurse, public health nurse, who was also the visiting nurse. And then in the early 90s, it changed, and insurances and Medicare really understood the value and how important home care and hospice was. And so they became certified and then, you know, reimbursed by commercial payers and by Medicare, which was a really big, big step. So the recognition was amazing. And then, you know, fast forward to everything was on paper, everything was documented on paper, and then you have computer systems come in. Everyone has to learn that, how to document in the computer system. And we had, in the late 80s, early 90s, there was probably about six nurses in the Cushing Center in Norwell, in the basement. I actually was there. My office was a bank vault. It was an old bank. And we did back then, we still do. We were the Board of Health for the town of Norwell. We did vaccines. We did all Board of Health, covered the school nurses in the schools, helped with any Board of Health concerns, and we continue to. So we are the Board of Health as well now, which is a whole different challenge, which means we have to do all the tracking. And it's just amazing because obviously, right, we've never had a pandemic. So we're doing all the disease tracking for the state, for the towns that we cover. And it's really just, it's interesting and it's also very challenging. So, we're learning a lot. Let's put it that way. Yeah. So we grew. We now currently are an agency of 300 employees. We cover 29 towns from Milton all the way to Plymouth and the coastal towns over to the Bridgewaters. We have our hospice is, I like to say, 10 years young. So we didn't always have a hospice, but we've had hospice for approximately 10 years, where many of the other hospices are 40 years. You know, we've been 10 and we're doing really, really well. Great team. The customer satisfaction is amazing from our patients and families. And then 5 years ago, we opened up the Pat Roach Hospice Home in Hingham, which is a 12-bed residential hospice home for patients. And interestingly enough, about 30% of our patients come from our home visiting program because it's challenging for them to manage at home and they go over to our house. But during this pandemic, we have seen an increase in people, not with COVID, but people that are signing on to hospice and wanting to go to the hospice home. So it's been an interesting phenomena that's occurred during this time. So we've been very busy there. We're using a lot of telehealth. And so we implemented a new robust telehealth program about 2 years ago. And it's been fabulous during this time for us to be able to talk with our patients, do telehealth with our patients, have touch points, keep them connected, keep them out of the hospital. So it's been fabulous. So I think always thinking ahead to the next thing that can support your organization. And technology is huge in healthcare. So we need to always stay abreast of the latest technology to support
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You'd mentioned that your hospice services are relatively new. What other services does the NVNA offer?
Yep. Absolutely. So we have, you know, the NVNA traditional care is, you know, for those patients that need post-surgical care or wound care at home, or they've had a hip or knee replacement. They need rehab, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. Obviously, we have the home health aides, which are so critical to help people with, you know, any personal care that they need during the time that they're recovering, showering, bathing, meal prep, all of that. And then we have the hospice care. Like I said, our average daily census for our hospice program is 80. Our average daily census before COVID for our home care program was close to 600 patients. But as everyone else is witnessing in healthcare across the board, our revenue and census has dropped by about 60% due to the fact that really, truly, no elective surgeries, and nobody was going to the hospital unless they were, now they're telling people to go to the hospital if you're sick. No one was even going if they were sick because they were so afraid of that they would get COVID at the hospital, which it's pretty safe to go to the hospital right now with all the restrictions and the PPE they're using, but people were so afraid. So we really saw a huge drop in the doctor's offices are closed. They're sort of, you know, doing telehealth. So that's been a big problem for all healthcare. And then we have a private duty company. So we have a private duty. They do about 7,000 hours of private duty a month. And that's private care for people who just need help. It might be 24/7 or it might be 2 hours a day just to be able to stay home, stay in their own home. A lot of these people have caregivers that are their spouse or their daughter or their son, and they need a break. So we do have a pretty robust private duty company as well. And then we have the Pat Roach Hospice Home, which is in Hingham, a 12-bed hospice home. And that was created to, we purchased that due to the unmet need on the South Shore. There was no hospice home on the South Shore anywhere. So a group of, called the Campus of Caring, group of fundraisers, Kathy and Ralph Tedeschi, got together with friends and family, and they started raising money because they had a family member that needed that type of residence and there was nothing available. And so it just evolved and grew. And then they asked us to run the Pat Roach Hospice Home. And then they gave us all the money and said, here you go. So that's how we started. And the Pat Roach Hospice Home still continues to rely on fundraising because no hospice home even breaks even. So it does rely on charity care to be able to continue. And we do provide a lot of charity care at the hospice home because the room and board is not covered by any insurance, but the care is, not the room and board. So
other than like fundraising and insurance, how else are you guys funded?
Yeah, so essentially we're funded by mostly Medicare, and then 30% to 35% is commercial payers. So all the commercial payers, Tufts, Blue Cross. And other than that, it's if someone has nothing, it's free care. So we've always given free care to the community from the time for 100 years, right? So there's always been a free care pool of money that we give free services to people that don't have any other source. And sometimes it's really just providing food for people or other services. It might not even be skilled care, but it might be other types of services at home. So we've always done that. We have always worked really closely with our community partners from always. But we work with our surrounding towns. We work closely with Norwell Fire and Police, the schools, the Council on Aging, the churches. So the community partners that we have are so important. And that's what we like to think of community VNAs offer, different than large for-profit organizations that are national. They're just not embedded in the community like we are. And we give and take. So they're so good to us and we're good back to them, and it just works.
So working in hospice, working with the NVNA for a long time, being a nurse yourself, what are some common misconceptions that people have about, you know, the hospice industry or what you guys do?
There's misconceptions about palliative care and there's misconceptions about hospice and what does it mean? And palliative care is really just for people with chronic disease and symptom management. So giving them the best quality of life every day and letting them stay home and live their life the way they want to live their life. So it's all about goals of care. So what is your goal of care? It might be different than the person next door. Some people are just like, I just want to be able to, with my oxygen, go to the grocery store, pick out my own food. That's kind of my goal. For other people, it might be, you know, more robust. So we work with people in palliative care to keep them home. They don't want to go to the hospital. Even if they're getting treatment, they could still be getting chemo or whatever, but we want them to have a good quality of life. And then hospice, the misconception about hospice is that, you know, hospice means like you're dying very soon. And that's not the case at all. So hospice has definitely a team approach. We all have a team approach, but they are just an elevated team approach with the chaplain, the social worker, the nurses, and the physician, working closely with the patient and the family to provide them with comfort and peace and a way to die with dignity. So whether it's at home or at the Pat Roach Hospice home or another facility of their choice, we want them to just have a good quality of life. And you get the benefit of hospice when you sign on not too late. So I think people wait too long. I think many of the physicians are now understanding the value of palliative care and hospice. So it's taken a while for us in this nation to really understand the value of palliative care and hospice. And we belong to the Partners Hospice Collaborative, which is about 20 hospices that they chose due to our quality and our outcomes and our patient satisfaction that they want to work with. So it's been great for us because we get to collaborate with partners. It's one of the biggest healthcare systems in our state. And we get to learn from their physicians and their population health people. They've been fabulous about helping us and us helping them to really get the word out to the physicians about what is palliative care, what is hospice care, and why it's so important. Because it helps everybody, and it certainly helps the families to really understand. And I'm sure, like you said, your mom was a hospice nurse, so she could tell you this. It really helps the family immensely, and then it helps with bereavement too. So it's just a very important program that no one wants to talk about. It's the word no one wants to talk about. So I think we're just trying to help people and educate people and whenever we can about the value of hospice and palliative care.
So hospice shouldn't like necessarily be like the dirty word in like a conversation. That's right. I think it should be talked about more.
Yes, absolutely. And I think what should be talked about more is they have, you know, this program called the Conversation Project, right? And that was put together by the Coalition of Serious Illness, which is many Atul Gawande and Blue Cross and just many organizations together to have the conversation, which means the physician talking with you at your annual visit about, you know, end of life care. What would you want at end of life? And I was also a nurse in the hospital about 4.5 years ago. So I know that we had a lot of patients in there that hadn't planned for end of life, and then they're not able to plan for end of life, and their loved ones are having to plan it for them. And that's a really stressful time for families. So having these conversations with your physician is a good thing. And it helps you to walk through, God forbid, those ideas about what would you want, you know? So I think it's just really important. And I know more and more people are, more and more physicians are getting more comfortable with it, which that's is a good thing.
That's really good. Yeah. You guys also have a nonprofit. It's called NVNA Works. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yep. So we're all not, the whole organization's nonprofit, but so we're NVNA. If you look at the sort of the structure, it's called the NVNA Foundation, then there's NVNA and Hospice, and then there's NVNA Works. So sort of NVNA and Hospice and NVNA Works are the children of the parent NVNA Foundation. That's sort of just the legal structure. But so NVNA Works is the private duty company. So that is the company that does all, we do private nursing, private physical therapy, we do, which means private pay, private home health aides for, it ends up being for many of our hospice patients because the families get overwhelmed and tired and they need some help and support. So whether it's sleeping over, you know, at their house and helping them with the nighttime shift, or supporting them, you know, so they can get out and get some respite. So, and then there's people who don't meet what we call skilled care, which is the NVNA, that insurance will pay for, because they don't, insurance says you have to reach a goal, and once you reach that goal, you're discharged, right? But some people want to continue with, say, physical therapy or the nurse coming out once a week, and so they can private pay for that. They can also private pay for telehealth if they want. Once we discharge them off skilled care, they can pay for the telehealth, which is a check-in. We the nurses in the telehealth department look at those monitors every day. And it's sort of a nice thing for a family member to know that someone's checking in on their loved one every day if they live alone. And so they can see that monitor and they can call the patient and say, gee, you didn't check in with your vital signs today. Are you okay? What's going on? So that's another service that we offer privately too.
So obviously with COVID-19 going around, you'd mentioned this a little bit earlier, people are sort of hesitant to enter into any type of hospital atmosphere. For those people, what would you say are some of the services that you offer during this time where we all have to stay at home and hope this, you know, passes over soon?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good question. And also, we had a lot of patients who were nervous to have us come visit. So, or have the home health aide come visit. And we knew that they needed that service because that was keeping them home safely. So what we have told, what we do every day here is what most healthcare organizations are doing to keep our patients and staff safe is, you know, we're checking, making sure you have to call in. Do you have a fever? Do you have any of the six symptoms that they ask you, you know, chills? Do you have sore throat, cold? So we have to, you can't say yes to anything because otherwise you can't come to work. And then for our patients, we ask the same questions, right? So we also have all the personal protective equipment. As challenging as it is, we have all the personal protective equipment we need to see our patients. So every patient, we put this into place really quickly. Any patient we see, we're using what we call droplet precautions. So we're using a mask, we're using gloves, we're now using goggles or shields, either goggles or shields. And then of course, if it's a questionable COVID patient, or it is a COVID patient, we're wearing the N95 and the gown. So we're wearing all the personal protective equipment you need to use for a COVID patient. So we're definitely, we've had very, very, very low exposure due to putting that in place really early. But we also offered our patients, and we check in on them frequently, the telehealth option. So we could drop ship if they didn't already have telehealth unit. It's an iPad with some attachments. If they didn't have a telehealth unit in their home already, we could drop ship it to them if they were nervous to have anybody come in and set it up. And we can easily walk them through that so that we could be checking in on them. So we've got 182 telehealth monitors out right now. Our virtual visits, we can do face-to-face virtual visits. Those have increased substantially. And it's really helping our patients and keeping them safe. So only do essential visits. So if they're essential, if someone needs wound care or different things, obviously we're going out. But we have had a lot of patients refuse us too because they're nervous about having anyone enter their home.
So for those patients, that's when you offer like telehealth, or if they are nervous, is there some type of encouragement, like, you know, the PPE that you guys wear, it's 99% like foolproof essentially.
Exactly. Yes. And that's what we tell them. And we usually try to talk to a family member as well and let them know. And we are telling our patients, you know, if you're sick, we obviously we're on call 24/7. So we have on call nurses 24/7. But if you're sick, you need to call and you need to let us know, or, you know, you call 911 for these particular, you know, concerns. So we're encouraging people to call their doctor, go see their doctor. The doctors are still seeing patients. They're just, you know, less people in the office on any given day. And I know that I've seen several ads right now on the TV too, telling people to go if they're sick, you know, so that's, we're doing the same and we're also, offering people, we have bereavement counselors and we have social workers. So people that have anxiety or nervous, and even for our staff, we're offering all sorts of help for our staff, for people that are, we're not, you know, we're seeing COVID patients that are recovering. So that's nice, right? So we're on the other end of it. But I know the PTSD of the people in the hospitals, because they're seeing so much in the hospitals that it's really difficult for them. So the Partners Hospice Collaborative reached out to all of us and asked us for support and help from our bereavement counselors and our social workers. So we've offered that to them to do, you know, Zoom meetings, to do some bereavement counseling and some PTSD counseling for these people. So it's a great community. I have to say, you just see how wonderful people are coming together in the healthcare field. And it's all about, what can we do to support patients and staff? It's nobody's worrying about competition. Nobody's worrying about all those other things that sometimes come into play. It's just, how can we help each other? You know, Partners, we just went up to Assembly Row and got 200 N95 masks from them, you know, so everybody's helping each other out. If you have more equipment than you need, then you offer it to someone else, you know, so it's been very, very collaborative.
You guys obviously do such an important job, and you guys are considered essential and important to the community that you serve. And you've been around for, or the NVNA has been around for over, you know, 100 years. What's the future going to look like for the NVNA? What type of growth do you foresee happening?
Really good question. And that's always a challenge, because, but we like to think, you know, we keep going back to our original mission, right? Which is, you know, is not just about, it's obvious about quality healthcare, right? And it's about, but it's wellness and public health services in our community too. So it's really all about community. And I think now more than ever, it's about community. So pre-COVID, we were also working with some different partners about, we've got a very robust strategic plan, 3-year strategic plan to 2022. And we really looked at, who are some other partners that we can work with that, you know, have the same mission as we do, but that we could do some really innovative things with technology and some other ideas for the future. Where do we see ourselves? We think it's really critical to get the message out how important it is to have someone in your community that provides your care. So our nurses and therapists work and live in the community. So we you know, you might live in Scituate and your patients are in Scituate, you know, so you're not getting people traveling from all over the place to see you. It's people that care about your community just as much you do, as much as you do. So the investment in the community, our staff are very invested in the South Shore communities in which they live and work. So I think that's a very valuable thing. We're also looking at expanding our palliative program and working with physicians in their practices to support them with those palliative conversations and consults. So that's another initiative we have going forward. We also, like I said, we are partners with some programs we're doing with Brewster Ambulance. So that's kind of a different partner, right? So, but they see a lot of the same people we do. The people that call them are probably our patients, and the elderly that live alone and are isolated and fall, they call Brewster, and then, you know, Brewster calls us and says, what can we do with this patient together? So we're trying to work on some programs to care for our frail elders, especially those that are isolated and need support. So how can we work together to keep these patients home, out of the hospital, safe, and whether it's food insecurity, whatever that person needs, working together to make sure that that happens. So I think looking at all of the partners that you work with in a different way, and how can we work together to achieve the same goals. So that's sort of our future plan to remain independent, because it's, I'll admit to you, it's a challenge to, we're independent, we're nonprofit, we don't belong to any system. So we don't have any real economies of scale where we can share a lot of services. So we compete with larger health systems that do have those opportunities. So we're always challenged with staying competitive with our wages and our benefits and making sure that we can have business viability. But we do think our commitment to our patients and staff is just so important in our community.
And if people wanted to find out more about the NVNA and the services that you offer, or if they want to find out where they could potentially donate PPE equipment, what type of information could you give out regarding that?
Yeah, so they could, there's all sorts of information on our website. They could go to our website. There's a donor button there. And also, you know, we're out and about all the time. Well, not now, but we usually are out and about all the time working with our communities, working with, I'm actually the chairman of the board of the South Shore Chamber right now. And the chamber business associates are wonderful about also, you know, getting the word out about what we do. And I as well for them, for their businesses. So that's kind of the value of the chamber, right? We all help each other out. But our website is very robust. You can find anything you need there. Anytime calling the NVNA, and any one of us would talk to anyone who has questions, or a lot of, I have a lot of people that just call me and say, I just want to know more about this, or walk me through that. Another thing I want to mention too that we have, which I think is very different from other organizations, is we have a certified dementia practitioner, and she works with families and skilled nursing facilities and assisted livings, educating them on, there's so many people with dementia and Alzheimer's, right? So just so many, and it's just growing. And these families struggle, and they struggle, they need support, they need financial support. So she really helps walk them through the trajectory and how they can plan for the future and what it looks like for them, and offering them support and help. So I think that's really critical, because those are a lot of the calls I get, you know, as families will call me and say, I don't know what to do. I have to work. Can't leave my mom alone anymore. I don't even know what's available, what's out there. People panic and they don't even know how to start the research, right? So that I think it's very valuable to just, they can call here. Anyone here will we have so many people here that have all that knowledge to walk them through what does it look like. Because when you were asking misconception about home care, I think people don't really understand what we do in home care. I think they don't realize how sick the people are that are in home care, and that we can care for you at home with IVs. We can care for you at home with all the, everything that you're getting at the hospital. You know, pretty much once you're stable, we can take care of you at home, and you recover so much better at home, less infection. People just, the data shows people recover better at home, whether it's the socialization or the comfort. But I think sometimes people don't understand, oh, I can't go home, I'm too sick. And we can do all of that for you. So just understanding, until you need it, you don't want to know about it. That's my perception. People don't want to know about home care and hospice until they need it, because, oh, why do I want to pay attention to that ad on hospice? That just sounds scary to me. Or why would I want to know about the Pat Roach Hospice Home in Hingham? I don't really want to know about that, because then I have to think about that, right? So you know, it's human nature, right? We don't want to think about something that we don't need to think about if it's sad. So people are like, I didn't even understand what home care was until I was in the situation where I needed it. And then I needed to quickly understand. So that's the home care industry. We're all trying to educate more people and help them understand what we do. So
that's great. Thank you so much, Renee. Definitely appreciate learning more about the NVNA and the hospice side of things and how you guys are caring for the community. So thank you so much for coming out and talking to us about that.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank
you. Absolutely. So much.